You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Wednesday, January 29th, 2025. Just like starting over. Bidders to soon get a second shot at Citgo's U.S. refineries and other assets. Published by John Hours. The bitter eight-year legal battle over the fate of Citgo Petroleum's three U.S. refineries, related pipelines and terminal assets appeared to be at an end last fall, when a federal court gave the green light to Elliott Investment Management's Amber Energy to purchase the assets for $7.3 billion. But instead of putting an end to the drama, the court restarted the bidding from scratch on December 18. In today's RBN blog, we'll discuss what the court's ruling means for Citgo and its refineries, which have a combined capacity of more than 800,000 barrels per day. Let's start with some background, which we discussed in depth in I'll Be Around. Since 2017, there's been a primarily below-the-radar battle playing out in the U.S. District Court for the District of Delaware about how best to help satisfy the claims of a dozen-plus creditors who collectively lost more than $20 billion when the government of Venezuela, the de facto owner of Citgo Petroleum and its parent company, PDV Holding, or PDVH, defaulted on its bonds. In 2019, control of Citgo was transferred away from the ruling Maduro regime in Venezuela to the opposition shadow government, which, at the time, was led by Juan Guaido. In May 2021, U.S. District Court Judge Leonard P. Stark appointed Robert B. Pincus as a special master tasked with devising a plan to sell PDVH Citgo. After a two-round bidding process that concluded in June 2024, Pincus recommended on September 27, 2024, that the district court approve Amber Energy and its $7.3 billion bid. While considerably lower than PDVH Citgo's appraised value of $11 billion to $13 billion, it was found to be the best offer the bidding process generated. RBN's Refined Fuels Analytics, or RFA, practice has a deep understanding of the U.S. and global refining sector, including the individual companies and refineries that comprise it. For more information on RFA and its areas of expertise, visit the consulting tab on our website, rbnenergy.com. The next edition of its biannual Future of Fuels report will be published January 31st. Citgo has a long and storied history. It started out as Citi's service company, which was formed by oilman and financier Henry Latham Doherty in 1910 to supply gas and electricity to small public utilities in several mid-continent states. By the mid-1930s, the company had accumulated dozens of oil and gas companies and several refineries, and it left the utility business entirely in 1935 to focus on petroleum activities. In the early 1940s, it was part of a consortium of oil giants that quickly built the famed Big Inch and Little Inch pipelines from Texas to New Jersey to aid the war effort, which it also supported through the supply of large volumes of high-octane aviation gasoline to U.S. military aircraft, sourced from its recently constructed flagship refinery in Lake Charles, Louisiana. In 1982, Citi's service was acquired by Occidental Petroleum, or Oxy, which the following year flipped the company's then-only refinery, Lake Charles, and thousands of Citgo-badged, a brand name first used in 1965, retail gas stations to Southland Corporation, which was then the owner of the 7-Eleven convenience store chain. Southland sold a 50% stake in Citgo to Petróleos de Venezuela S.A., or PDVSA, which owns PDVH, in 1986 and sold the rest in 1990. Since then, there have been many ups and downs and twists and turns, not only within PDVH and Citgo but also in Venezuela itself. Most importantly for our discussion of Citgo and its current assets, the company acquired a half-stake in the Lamont refinery 30 miles southeast of Chicago in 1989 from Unocal and purchased the other half in 1997. Also, Citgo came to own the Corpus Christi refinery as part of its merger with Champlin Refining and Chemicals in 1991. While Citgo hasn't filed for bankruptcy, its assets have been subject to legal proceedings and potential sale because of issues in Venezuela for 15 years. For example, in 2010, then-Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez announced his intentions to sell Citgo following his death in 2013. Venezuela's economic crisis worsened, leading to more instability. In 2016, Venezuela pledged 49.9% of Citgo to Russian oil firm Rosneft as collateral for a $1.5 billion loan. In 2017, Venezuela defaulted and declared insolvency, complicating matters. Before we discuss Citgo's refineries and the company's other assets in detail, let's delve into the new auction. It comes as no surprise that Citgo's creditors weren't happy with Amber Energy's bid and filed lawsuits to prevent the agreement from moving forward. As we said, claims against Venezuela are more than $20 billion, but the bid from Amber at $7.3 billion wouldn't even cover half the debt. Things went from bad to worse for those creditors in November when Amber Energy dropped its offer to $5.3 billion. Amber had attempted to appease creditors by changing its pay schedule, offering direct payments rather than payments to a trust, but the lower bid prompted more backlash from creditors and questions about Amber's finances. In December, Judge Stark threw out the previous auction, starting everything from scratch for several reasons, including the fact that Special Master Pincus, whom Stark had directed to manage the auction, urged him to overhaul the process because he believed the auction wasn't transparent. Indeed, Stark determined that court officials had improperly cut off access to information about Amber Energy's bid and Citgo's financial health to creditors weighing their own bid. He also said he was disappointed by the amount of the bid. That brings us to Judge Stark's December 18th ruling, in which he started the auction from scratch and set a deadline for bids by March 7th. Pincus is slated to recommend the bid be accepted by the court no later than May 16th. Stark said he would hold a sales hearing starting on July 22nd that could go multiple days if necessary. Citgo's assets. Citgo, which is based in Houston, owns the Lake Charles, Lamont and Corpus Christi refineries, which have a combined capacity of 807,000 barrels per day, making Citgo the seventh largest U.S. refiner by capacity. The company also owns three lubricant plants and all are part of 46 refined products terminals, as well as several pipelines in which it holds full or partial ownership. From a quality perspective, we consider the three refineries to be in either the upper or middle tiers among U.S. refineries as a whole. Each is likely to remain highly competitive and survive any culling of refinery capacity that may occur over the next couple of decades. Here are summaries of the three refineries, including our general assessments of each. Number 1. The 463,000 barrels per day Lake Charles refinery in southwestern Louisiana is the seventh largest in the U.S. and Citgo's most valuable asset. Using various criteria, RFA ranks it as the ninth best refinery on the Gulf Coast. The Lake Charles facility is highly complex, with a broad range of equipment to break down heavier crude oil and resid into valuable refined products. It has a Nelson Complexity Index, or NCI, of 11, on a scale of 1 to 20, with 20 being the most complex. Also, the refinery's multiple processing trains give it significant operating flexibility, especially regarding its ability to handle crudes of different qualities. Further, the refinery is well connected to domestic crude oil supplies via the Bayou Bridge, Permian Express and Zydeco pipelines and Citgo's own Sour Lake pipeline, among others, and to imported oil via its own crude docks. On the product side, Lake Charles has the ability to export a considerable amount of refined product and has connections to refined products takeaway pipelines, including the 5,500-mile, 2.5 million barrels per day Colonial Pipeline, which runs from the Gulf Coast to northern New Jersey and feeds several Citgo terminals along the way. Citgo completed a 38,000 barrels per day expansion of the refinery in Q1 2023, increasing capacity to its current level. This activity shows that Citgo has continued to invest in the facility to improve its competitiveness and adapt to changing market conditions. Number 2. Citgo's 177,000 barrels per day Lamont refinery in northern Illinois is considerably smaller than Lake Charles but slightly more complex, with a 12 NCI, RFA ranks it as the 8th best refinery in PADD 2, or the Midwest Great Plains. Per RFA estimates, price-discounted heavy crude piped in from Western Canada accounted for just over half of Lamont's crude slate in 2023, giving the refinery a competitive advantage against those that are limited to processing more expensive synthetic and light crude oils. The highly flexible facility is located near high-value demand centers in the Midwest, where Citgo has an extensive distribution and marketing network. While RFA expects about 500,000 barrels per day of refining capacity in PADD 2 to be retired over the next two decades to maintain regional product balances, Lamont's capabilities and competitive positioning make it a very likely survivor. Number 3. The company's 167,000 barrels per day Corpus Christi refinery was designed and built to process heavy crude oil. It has a standout 16.5 NCI, making it one of the most complex refineries on the Gulf Coast, but it also can process significant volumes of light crude oil from the Permian Basin and nearby Eagle Ford Formation. RFA estimates the refinery's current crude slate to be made up of around 50% light sweet shale crude, as you'd expect given its location. The refinery has easy pipeline access to light sweet crude from the Eagle Ford and the Permian. The downside is that, like all of the other refineries in Corpus Christi, it has no pipeline access to heavy crude from Western Canada, which needs to be barged in from Houston. As a result, most of the heavy crude processed at the refinery is imported from Latin America. Still, Citgo's Corpus refinery is a competitive player in global markets, and RFA believes it can continue to take advantage of strong refined product export markets. As we noted, Citgo owns the 250,000 barrels per day sour Lake crude oil pipeline, the primary source for the company's Lake Charles refinery and Citgo's most valuable midstream asset. Note, this pipeline has a diameter of 20 inches, which should allow for relatively low-cost expansion up to a maximum of 300 to 350,000 barrels per day with sufficient pumping capacity. It also owns the 35,000 barrels per day Lakemont pipeline, being expanded to 50,000 barrels per day, which moves NGLs between Lake Charles and the NGL hub in Mont Belvieu, Texas, as well as the CASA refined products pipeline system from the company's Corpus Christi refinery to Austin, San Antonio, and other demand centers in South and Central Texas. And it jointly owns four other pipelines in Louisiana and the Midwest. Citgo also holds full or partial interests in 46 terminals, 42 of them active, with a total of more than 22 million barrels of storage capacity. And lastly, the company owns three lubricant manufacturing plants in Atlanta, Oklahoma City, and Cicero, Illinois, with a combined capacity to produce about 75 million gallons per year of fluids and 68 million pounds per year of grease. Now that we've discussed what's up for auction, let's look at the potential bidders for these gems. There are no formal bids yet, however, several firms have expressed interest at different times. In October, Crystallex, the Canadian company that brought the case that found PDVH liable for Venezuela's debt, and ConocoPhillips asked for Citgo's financial information to be available to other bidders, indicating they were interested, but access was closed when Elliott's Amber Energy was chosen to negotiate the deal. Red Tree Investments LLC and Gold Reserve have also expressed an interest in bidding. Whether they formally bid is still up in the air, and Amber could ramp up its previous bid in the new auction. What's transpired at Citgo is unprecedented, and while it's been a challenging time for Citgo's management, the company has continued to operate its refineries very efficiently and at high operating rates. The facilities are very competitive and appear to be in good shape, and as a result, we'd expect there could be a number of bidders in the new auction. It's very hard to predict what the final price might be, but we believe the assets are quite attractive. Just Like Starting Over was written by John Lennon and appears as the first song on side one on John Lennon and Yoko Ono's fifth studio album, Double Fantasy. Released as a single in October 1980, it went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart and has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA. The song is a celebration of Lennon's return to making music after a five-year hiatus while he and Ono concentrated on raising their son, Sean. It was recorded in August 1980 and was one of the last songs completed for Double Fantasy. No one was prepared for the sad reality that 46 days after the release of this joyous, celebratory single, Lennon would be murdered on the sidewalk in front of where he and Ono lived at the Dakota in New York City's Upper West Side. Personnel on the record were John Lennon, lead vocals, rhythm guitar, Earl Slick, Hugh McCracken, lead guitars, Tony Levin bass, George Small, keyboards, Andy Newmark, drums, Arthur Jenkins, percussion, and Michelle Simpson, Cassandra Wooten, Cheryl Manson, Jax, Eric Troyer, backing vocals. Double Fantasy was recorded between August and October 1980 at the Hit Factory in New York City with production by Jack Douglas, John Lennon, and Yoko Ono. It features songs from Lennon and Ono, alternating between the two artists in its track listing. Released in November 1980, it initially was low in the charts but rocketed to number one on the Billboard chart after Lennon's assassination. It has been certified 3X Platinum by the RIAA. It won a Grammy Award for Album of the Year in 1981. Three singles were released from the LP. John Lennon was an English singer, songwriter, musician, and political activist. He founded the Beatles in Liverpool in 1960 with Paul McCartney, George Harrison, Stu Sutcliffe, and Pete Best. Sutcliffe left the band and McCartney switched to bass, and Ringo Starr would replace Best on drums. The Beatles released 17 studio albums, 36 EPs, 5 live albums, 51 compilation albums, and 63 singles. They have sold more than 600 million records worldwide. They were featured in 5 motion pictures and have won an Academy Award, 4 Brit Awards, 11 Grammy Awards, and 15 Ivor Novello Awards. The Beatles have a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and all 4 members have an MBE Award. As a solo artist, John Lennon released 11 studio albums, 3 live albums, 15 compilation albums, and 23 singles. He was posthumously inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a solo artist. Lennon died in December 1980.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.